Dan Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
710 WOR.
Hey, happy Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, as the tenured left-wing professors at all those left-wing universities insist on calling it, because they think the worst thing that ever happened to America was the arrival of Christopher Columbus, Joe.
You know, look at what he did to us.
Terrible.
Look what happened.
Ruined this country.
He got here.
It was pristine. It was beautiful. We could drink the water.
He brought disease.
That's right. Awful. And capitalism. Oh, my gosh. It was terrible.
Isn't it?
We should still be trading with leaves and arrowheads. Len is off today celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day.
Now, what does that crowd wish happened? That Columbus never discovered America? That we never had development?
Yeah, pretty much.
That we still live in teepees and,
teepees. You know. Yes, still dance around a campfire.
Buffalo.
Well, if Christopher Columbus had not come here, we wouldn't have the buffalo population culled the way it has been.
That's right, right.
Because we've turned those wonderful, beautiful rolling hills of America into, Trump golf courses. So that's what they're protesting. Len is not here today. He is, I did not know, Len is a big supporter of Indigenous Peoples Day. He's out there celebrating with his tribe. Which, I don't know, what is he a member of the Shinnecocks out there?
He could be
a member of the Shinnecock Country Club.
Celebrating with the Shinnecock, right, yeah.
And the 14th Green, maybe. That's right. Yeah. Anyway, Len's not here, but I'm joined by Joe Bartlett. It is Columbus Day, a little bit later in the program. We're going to be checking in with Alice Stockton Rossini. I'm actually kind of curious about this, Joe. I really wonder how Italian-Americans feel about this anger at Columbus Day, this desire to call it Indigenous Peoples Day, to not celebrate the achievements of Christopher Columbus.
Look what almost happened to the Columbus Circle.
Yeah, they wanted to take down the statue. Yeah. But I think Italian Americans are very proud of Columbus still, and they will fight to keep the day called Columbus Day.
Well, it's a good day for the Italians. They get a parade. All of the politicians will, despite his progressive philosophy, I think
Cuomo is not coming out against Columbus Day. Trust me.
Exactly. No,
exactly.
And Mayor de Blasio, he'll be there too.
Yeah. Well, you got to celebrate it too, because from the Italian American point of view, think of what Columbus did. Think of the bravery of sailing out into the sea when you thought the world might be flat, you might fall off.
Absolutely.
The bravery it took for him to not discover the rest of the world because it was there, but to open the rest of the world up to the Europeans. Very exciting.
We should salute him.
All right, leading off our big three today, Brett Kavanaugh is no longer Judge Kavanaugh. He is Justice Kavanaugh. The left has gone out of their minds, clawing at the door of the Supreme Court, pounding away.
It's going to be horrible. Oh, my God. Just wait till you see what he does.
Overturn Roe v. Wade. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And also, terrible, terrible news from upstate New York. A limo crash killing 20 people. 18 of them were in this limo. Two were bystanders. The worst crash, I believe, Joe, since 2009 in this country.
Including plane crashes,
yeah. All right, let's get the latest on this horrific crash from Jesse McKinley, the New York Times bureau chief up in Albany. Good morning, Jesse.
Michael, how are you?
Good. All right, so bring us up to date. What's the very latest you have on this crash?
Well, the NTSB is looking at it. Obviously, New York State Police is looking at it. Details have been meager, to say the least. At this point, as you pointed out, we've got 18 dead inside the limo, a couple of people on the ground. NTSB is promising about 5 days out at the scene, but I think the betting money is going to be on looking at both the driver as well as the vehicle itself to see if there's any mechanical problems or if the driver was impaired or had any sort of medical conditions. But once again, we don't have much at this point, except, the kind of human tragedy of all of these, young people in their 20s and 30s who hopped into a limo expecting kind of a nice afternoon on Saturday and things went bad.
Jesse, can you describe that intersection for me? I believe the limo would have been coming down a hill.
Yeah, it's basically two country highways that intersect there in a T, and the one in which the limo was traveling was, it was a grade. It's not, as I said to someone yesterday, it's not alpine skiing. This is not a 45-degree angle, but it is a very steady decline from, the ridge over Schoharie into this intersection. And one can imagine that if something happened to the car or something happened to the driver coming down that incline over a couple hundred feet or maybe even 1,000 feet, it would build up quite a head of steam. So that would be a dangerous situation.
You know, as an amateur investigator here, I know we have the National Transportation Safety Board. They're going to look at everything, analyze it very scientifically. But you got to think this is either something that involves the driver who had no clue what he was doing, or a medical issue perhaps, or some sort of mechanical failure on the part of the vehicle, because you would not go into a T-bone intersection at that rate of speed, if all things being equal, correct?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think the NTSB is going to look at everything, as will state police, but... absolutely. You would be braking pretty heavily coming down this incline anyway, and to hit it at, you know, witnesses put it at 60, those sorts of things are always a little bit, squishy, but it had to be going at a significant rate of speed to cause the amount of damage. And also keep in mind that state police said yesterday that most of these people inside limo didn't survive the impact. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a very heavy vehicle that must have been traveling at a pretty good clip in order to cause that range of death that quickly. Mm.
Jesse, tell us about the people in the limo. Four sisters, I believe, and they were celebrating one of the sisters' birthday, and she was recently married?
Yeah, just in terms of the human cost of this, it was pretty terrible. One family lost four sisters, another family lost two brothers. At least two of these couples were intermarried. You know, they had kids. There were cousins in the vehicle. So it was really a gang that our reporting showed, you know, they were a tight-knit group that were out for a Saturday afternoon. And then, of course, there were two bystanders who were just going out on a, you know, Columbus Day weekend to, you know, buy some pumpkins or mums or something at a store, and were hit as well. So it, you know, just in terms of the randomness of this and the human toll, it's pretty ghastly.
It is. It's horrific. And do you know if the NTSB is going to do another briefing? They're usually pretty good about this process. You know, the first one, they don't really tell you anything. The second one, they have just a little bit more information to help us make sense of this. I think that's what people are trying to do. How do 18 people in a car, two people walking on the street, die? You got to tell us something.
Yeah, I think the state police is planning some sort of briefing today. I think they're the lead agency at this point. You know, you mentioned plane crashes. It is remarkable that the last time we had this many people killed in a transportation accident was 2009, and that was 50 people in a plane outside Buffalo. And I've covered minor plane crashes as well at NTSB. You know, they take their time. You're not probably going to have an answer today or tomorrow. But state police will probably brief us today, and we'll have a little bit more to say.
Mm. Jesse, I saw some pictures you took over the weekend when you were there, and a really poignant one of the skid mark, I think, and then a hairbrush. Was that your shot with the hairbrush?
Yeah, that was yesterday afternoon. You know, the ground there was littered. You know, they were still. You could kind of sense the impact, you know, the force of this impact. The skid marks were probably 25 feet long. It had landed right in this sharp gully, and it had landed pretty quickly. And obviously, the impact had ripped off parts of the car, you know, parts of the limo. You know, you had a wheel kind of embedded in the mud. I saw a bracelet. I saw a hairbrush. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw bits of mirrors. You know, it obviously was a terrible scene.
Do you know how long they were in this limo before the crash? I know they were headed to Cooperstown, so they probably had quite a ways to go from Schoharie to Cooperstown, right? So how long do you, if you know, were they in the limo before that crash?
We don't know yet. And in fact, the information on the limo company and the limo driver, and that may have been one of the same, have been non-existent at this point. That's something we'll be digging into today. Yeah. You know, there was a report I read this morning that perhaps they had hit a couple of wineries before they were heading to Cooperstown, which would make sense if you were having an afternoon with your friends.
So, that's why you hire a limo, so you don't drive drunk.
No, absolutely. And so you know, we'll be trying to reconstruct how that day developed and how it ended, obviously, in our reporting today.
All right, Jesse McKinley, Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Thanks for your reporting, Jesse.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. I think this is going to come down to the driver.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the driver.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you do not go zipping down that hill and not stop. And apparently he just went right through that T-bone intersection.
No, I mean, you would think you'd have GPS that would tell you, you know, turn right in 500 feet or something. I don't know. But if I had to guess now, and, you know, I guess I have the privilege of doing that, I would say it's going to be a driver issue.
Mm. Yeah, we still don't know anything about the driver, but I don't know. I never thought those things were safe, those big extended limousines.
And then you put in a driver who, you know, may or may not be capable.
Doesn't know the roads.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't know the area. Yeah, yeah. So, just terrible. All right. Hey, when we come back, we've got some celebrity news for you. Guess who already wants to get out of jail? I'm not going to tell you, but there's a celebrity who's in jail and he wants to be out. And Taylor Swift is getting political on us. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Hey, iHeartRadio now makes it even easier to listen to all your favorite podcasts. No need for another app. All the biggest names in podcasting can be found in the iHeartRadio app. Literally thousands of them, including Len Berman and Michael Riedel and Joe Bartlett in the morning. All of it is available for free. Now, your favorite radio app can be your favorite podcast app. Download or open the free iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab to start exploring all of those terrific podcasts now right at your fingertips. And now let's get the traffic from Cindy Whitmer. Hey, good morning, everybody. All right, we got our boldface name segment. You know, on page six, they boldface these celebrity names.
Oh, yeah.
So Len and I are calling this our boldface name segment. All right, so here's a boldface name who's in prison. Bill Cosby.
Yes.
Already, he's been in prison, what, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And now he already wants to get out of jail. Can't say I blame him. I mean, he wants to be in jail. All right, I got that. But, you know, he did commit some sexual misconduct there that's going to put him away
put for it mildly.
3 to 10 years, exactly. So anyway, he has defense motion filed Friday outlines his attorney's requests, which include overturning the actor's conviction on accounts of sexual assault. They also, now they've got a problem with the judge, Judge Stephen O'Neill. They believe he should have recused himself. So they're going after the judge, too, who sentenced Cosby to 3 to 10 years in prison. Apparently, they think there were mistakes he made when he imposed the sentence, and they've got errors. They have an accounting of errors that were made in this sexual assault case. I have a feeling, Joe, that this is not going to go anywhere.
No, and they also claim because he's of his age.
Well, they claimed that before he got sentenced.
Yeah, that he shouldn't. Yeah, you know, he shouldn't go to jail. Go ahead, appeal. Just stay where you are.
Yeah, this is just the wheels going through. They were definitely going to appeal it, but he's not getting out anytime soon. I have a feeling poor old Bill Cosby is going to wrap up his final days as prisoner 24601. That's from Les Miserables.
That's right. I remember that.
That's it. Yeah. So anyway, Bill Cosby in jail and probably is going to be there to stay. Taylor Swift. A little Taylor Swift song here. We can. You recognize that song, Joe?
Blank Space.
Yes, very good.
I got a blank space, babe.
There you go.
I actually like Taylor Swift. And that song's about, you know, her proliferation of boyfriends.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see why she has a lot of them, because she's pretty cute.
Yes.
Now, absolutely. She has shied away from taking political stance. And in fact, some people on the left have claimed that she's probably a right winger. A lot of her fans are white and right. I remember some people criticizing her for that.
Oh, really?
They say a lot of her fans might be, you know, Trump voters, and that's why she doesn't take political stance, because she doesn't want to alienate the white fans out there who may have tried to make America great again.
I don't think any of these people should be talking about their politics. Entertainers, you entertain. That's all we care for you. We don't need your politics.
That's true, but you know, it is a free country, and they have every right to stand up for what they believe
in. And they have every right to lose fans,
and we have every right to ignore them.
Yeah, right.
Well, she is now coming out, and she plans to vote for the Democrat who is running against Tennessee Republican Rep. Marsha Blackburn for the U.S. Senate. She will be voting for Phil Bredesen. His name is. And she says, I always have and always will cast my vote based on which candidate will protect and fight for the human rights I believe we all deserve in this country. I believe in the fight for LGBTQ rights, a lot of letters there, and that any form of discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender is wrong, she says. She does not like this Rep. Marsha Blackburn because she votes against equal pay for women, she says. So Taylor Swift Taylor Swift has now been Swiftized and is coming out supporting the Democrat.
Her home state of Tennessee, I don't think, is she ever there?
Well, she votes there, I guess.
Well, yeah, but don't you have to live there at some point?
I don't think you have to live there to vote there. You got to be registered.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but I don't know. Her fans, I mean, I don't know
risky.
Much about
risky.
It is risky. It is risky. I don't think Taylor Swift fans lean towards the Pocahontas wing of the Democratic Party. I just don't see that.
A lot of young little women.
Well, but let's hope they're not of voting age.
Most of her fans probably are.
Most of her fans probably are not of voting age. Hey, tell me about Rose McGowan. She's got some interesting stuff to say in the hashtag MeToo era.
Yeah, now Rose McGowan actually was the woman who really began the MeToo movement because she was the first to accuse Harvey Weinstein raping her. And I mean, that started the MeToo movement. But now she was one of the most vocal supporters, now says it's nothing but BS.
The whole Me Too movement?
Me Too movement is BS.
Well, what does she mean by that? Can she elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, she says, I was just thinking they're not champs. They're losers. These are the Me Too supporters. I don't like them, she told a British newspaper. I don't want to go because it's all BS. It's a Band-Aid lie to make them feel better. I know these people. I know they're lily-livered. And as long as it looks good on the surface, that's good enough for them. So basically what she's accusing them of just coming out and supporting Me Too, but not really believing what is behind it. She claims also she's facing cocaine possession charges. She claims that was planted by a Weinstein operative. Let's see. She also says
she's a little odd.
She's rescinded her years of support for Clinton as she believes it's not possible for a Democrat to be as clueless as the Clintons were with Weinstein.
Well, that's a good point, because we know that they collected a lot of money from Harvey Weinstein. And you know that, because anybody who knew about show business knew about all the rumblings about Harvey's trouble with women.
The spark for Me Too says it's BS.
Very interesting. All right, Rose McGowan. All right, now let's get the news at 7:30 from Jeff McKinney. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. And investigators on the scene after that deadly crash in upstate New York. It happened Saturday afternoon, and 20 people killed in this limo crash. It happened in the town of Scoree, and Barbara Douglas says she was an aunt to four of the victims. She says her brother gave her the bad news.
I don't know if the brakes failed or what happened. I don't know. I can't tell you what happened. She just told me that they had rented a limo, and he said they were all dead.
All of them dead. Again, 20 people killed, 18 people in the car, in the limo, died. Two people were standing there, were hit by the limo.
And you know, Jeff, we found out from Jesse McKinley from the New York Times, you were saying earlier that it's hard to get out of those limos. So if you survive the crash and you're injured, you may not be able to get out to save yourself. Apparently, most of them were dead on impact.
Which means that thing was really traveling.
Yes, right.
How steep, by the way, there's been much talk about this thing coming down a hill. How steep does he say that?
Well, he said it's not like, you know, skiing in on the mountains. He said it's a grade.
It's like kind of light and slow
downgrade. It was not a steep.
In some of the schematics I've seen of this crash, it looks like this limo driver barely slowed down. I mean,
he was just going 60 miles, if not more.
But at impact in the parking lot.
Right.
So here's Schumer, Charles Schumer.
Oh, yeah. Sure, we got to have him.
Absolutely.
Well, he's...
I knew this was coming.
He's coming right out and saying, we need more regulation.
Every inch you stretch a limo makes it more dangerous. And yet there are no rules regulating them. So I've asked the NTSB to implement rules.
All right. We can't blame him. He's right to do that. Yeah, I mean, you can say it's Schumer, but he's right to do that.
Right, right.
But it comes back to that same point we were making an hour ago, where these cars, they go through all the crash tests in their original configurations. But if you take a limo that, a Lincoln, I guess a lot of these things are Lincoln. If you take a Lincoln that originally passes the crash test, you stretch it out to twice its original length, it no longer is crash worthy.
And the other thing you have to wonder about is the safety requirements of the riders in there. Should there be seatbelts required in a limo?
Well, how about those limos that you see?
Remarkable number of deaths.
Yeah, sure.
And how about those limos you see here in the city where they have the roofs open up and usually see girls hanging out, drinking, partying, that kind of stuff above the
That's something I've noticed on occasion. Yes. do you, and you know those open top buses that they have?
Oh yeah.
Great. Are they Gray Line tours? What were
those?
Okay, you know those kinds of things. There was a case about it was probably 4 years ago. Two of those things crashed in Times Square. Mm. They collided in Times Square,
and
people were flying through the air onto 7th Avenue, and nobody died, which is
why
we can. I don't think anybody even got hurt all that badly, which is why we can chortle a little bit when we talk about that.
Mm. All right. Okay, Jeff, thanks a lot. When we get back, the phones are open. Joe and I want your thoughts on the left wing going insane over the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Do you think this helps the Dems in the midterms? Or are the Republicans just as ginned up? Give us a call, 1-800-321-0710 when we come back. And your next chance to win 1,000 smackaroonies is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic from Cindy Wade. Hey, good morning, everybody. The phones are open, 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. I want to know, Joe and I want to know what you think about the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh for Supreme Court Justice. Now, the Democrats say their base is all fired up, and they're going to turn out in the midterms, and they're going to go after those Republicans. But I think, and a lot of other shrewd political analysts, think that the Republicans are just as ginned up about this, that they see the attack on Kavanaugh as a prelude to the attack to the impeachment of Donald Trump. So I want to know what you guys think. Is it going to be the Dems on top in the midterms? Are the Republicans finally fired up themselves? 1-800-321-0710. Let's go to Bob in Pennington, New Jersey. Good morning, Bob. You there, Bob? Hello, Bob. Nope, I guess Bob is not there. All right. Bob.
You want to go to line? So Tony, let's try line two. Gordon from Bethel, Connecticut.
Hi.
Good morning, Gordon.
Hello, Gordon.
Doing? Good morning.
Glad to see you. Hey, glad to talk to you guys. Hey, listen, this Judge Kavanaugh thing, I'm so glad it's over. I mean, I was so tired of it, but I think it energizes the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other than the far, far left, we're going to bring some Democrats over, because if anybody watched any of this with any common sense, they got to know the Democrats were just out to destroy this man and his family. It was absolutely ridiculous. And one other comment before I leave. Michael, you may have a problem.
What's my problem, Gordon?
Well, you talked the other day on the radio about your little show and tell with the little girl kissing her.
Oh, yes, when I was in second grade. Yes, I did a show.
When you were second grade. Well, I understand that there's some pictures that have some pictures that have been found of you taking a pee in a kiddie pool with a bunch of girls in the tilt.
Oh, well, I don't know about that there, Gordon. So, no, Gordon's referring. I mentioned when I was in second grade for show and tell, this girl, Laura, and I, our show and tell was we kissed in front of the class.
Second grade?
Yes. Well, she was like my little girlfriend then, and we held hands, and we decided we would, have a kiss. And it was
second grade.
Tell.
So maybe somebody was in the back of the room with a Polaroid.
Yeah.
Captured the moment.
Jim Rockford.
Oh, man.
James Garner was back there with his, remember the Polaroid ads with James Garner? He was back there capturing the moment. No. I never, it was totally innocent, Joe Bartlett. Don't think anything less of me, but it was just cute, two kids.
All right, you want to hear some of these wacky Dems?
Yeah, I do.
This is Chris Coons talking about impeachment.
That's premature. I think, frankly, we are just less than a month away from an election. Folks who feel very strongly one way or the other about the issues in front of us should get out and vote and participate.
All right, there you go. He's a Democrat
and
obviously voted against the nomination.
Yeah.
But this is what he thinks of Republicans in terms of how they handled the Kavanaugh process.
I do think that that there was a widespread response, certainly on the Republican side, that these were not credible allegations.
There you go. Okay.
Right.
He seems almost he almost is rational.
Almost. But we want to know what you guys think. 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. I, for one, am delighted Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed, and I think it fires up the Republican base. But, boy, the Democrats are angry. Also, if you want to weigh in on Indigenous Peoples Day, are you an Italian-American? Do you think it should be called Indigenous Peoples Day? Are you happy with Columbus Day? Let's take Peter in Connecticut on line one. Good morning, Peter.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's up, Peter?
I believe that there is a confrontation between socialism or statism and constitutionalism. Mm-hmm. And by having Kavanaugh confirmed, well, I think constitutionalism just won big time. And the biggest fear that the Democrats have that through constitutionalism, we're going to reclaim liberty. And through liberty, we get prosperity. And prosperity is the biggest threat to the Democrats because they will become obsolete because they need dependency. And I think this is a great victory for the Republicans, and they are going to be energized to get out and vote.
Yeah. All right, Peter. I agree with you. I hear you there, too. I think he's right. I think the Democrats do like the dependent welfare state because it means more voters for them if they depend on government handouts given to them by the Democrats.
Guy sounded a little like Harvey Fierstein, didn't he?
Harvey Fierstein's coming up later at 9:40. Hey, let's go to Scott in Hewlett, New York. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I think it was a major mistake by the Democrats. They were enjoying a large lead in the generic congressional ballots. A lot of Republicans were happy with what Trump's doing, but probably not so energized. And the polling data was showing that. But after the Kavanaugh debacle, the polling data collapsed any leads that they had. Trump's approval ratings have gone up. It gives them proof to point to say this is what we're in for if you don't get out and vote in these midterms. And as much as the Democratic base is energized, I think the advantage that they have has all but evaporated. And they'll try and bring more young people in the early part of the voting spectrum. But I think a lot of the people in the middle, the independents, looked at the temper tantrum that they watched go on over the last month. And they'll either stay home or it'll swing them over to the Republican side as well so that nobody wants to have that kind of insanity sitting in any kind of seat of power.
You may be right, Scott. All right, thanks for a good call. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go to woman's side of the story here, Michael. We've got Mary from Flushing. Good morning, Mary. What do you think?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I love your show.
Thank you, Mary.
I just really feel because I have a lot of women friends, and I am a woman, and I have a few daughters, and a lot of people really are confused. Mm. I really think that they should bring that FBI report out, the last one, so that can maybe solve a few problems. But I really believe that you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, that was the problem there, Mary. That was definitely the problem. I mean, I think Professor Ford was credible, but there was just no evidence to bring against Brett Kavanaugh.
And one of the things that Kellyanne Conway talked about, it was, you know, in terms of women, it's difficult because obviously you want to support a woman who may have been sexually assaulted, but you also have to be careful about what this does to men. Listen to this.
We looked up and saw in him possibly our husbands, our sons, our cousins, our coworkers, our brothers. And this was unfair.
Okay, there you see. This was on ABC's This Week.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of women say, hey, look, this could happen to my husband, one of my sons.
Absolutely. Especially now, you know, college campuses are so hypercharged about all this kind of stuff. Your son could be accused of date rape and all these other things. And he may be innocent. But once that accusation is made, it does serious damage to the reputation.
You know, the thing is, you know, I mean, it's not like people who supported Kavanaugh are insensitive to sexual assault. I mean, if it's there, if there's evidence, obviously.
Go after him.
Yeah.
Put Harvey Weinstein in jail. Look at where Bill Cosby is in jail if the evidence is there. Yeah. All right. When we come back, there is money in foot fetishes.
Really?
I got Bartlett's reputation. Oh, okay. Got Bartlett's attention there. We're going to tell you about a dominatrix who makes a lot of money, not on her back, but on her feet. Plus your chance to win $1,000. $1,000 is going to fill up your bank account. It's coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. But first, let's get the traffic from Cindy Waitman.
WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, I certainly got Joe's attention with the that last tease there about the woman who, she has attractive feet, right? She shows them off on her website. And we have her feet up on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Her name is Gwyneth Lee. She makes some extra cash with her feet. Now, she's a part-time dominatrix. She shares pictures and videos of her feet on social media, and she receives about, get this, Joe, $30,000 a year.
Hey, look, I've looked at her feet.
To show her feet. All right, tell me, are those $30,000 a year feet?
I wouldn't pay to to lick them, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. Whoa, Joe, come on.
Well,
no,
what else
no.
are you supposed to do with them?
Well, I don't know. Can't you play This Little Piggy Went to Market, This Little Piggy Stayed Home for $30,000?
I don't know.
Well, if you look at this on our website, 710.
But you know what's interesting? That video, she can count money with her feet.
She does. She takes. Gotta go to the website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. She actually removes about 500 Benjamins, five Benjamins, from an envelope with her feet.
Using her feet for more than just walking.
And we know she's a dominatrix because you can see her leather pants on.
Yes.
I can't see a whip anywhere.
She's got, you know, these fishnet stockings and another one here. There's one where she's got a little provocative pose here. And the feet look better than the face, I'll tell you that.
Whoa, Joe's been doing a deep dive into the dominatrix with the foot fetish. All right, go to our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. And, you know, well, listen, if you like what you see, we'll provide a link to her website, and you can throw 500 bucks her way to play This Little Piggy Went to Market.
You get to a massage and lick her feet.
A massage and lick her feet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, you know, I like the massage part.
Come on. Get off on it.
I what's it called? Natalie, it's something you
what?
You
women. Why me?
Well, no, because I went there once, a place called Angel Feet in the West Village, and they massage your feet.
No,
it's called reflexology. That's what
I've had that done.
Yeah.
No, well, you don't understand. You're doing that to her.
I know. Well, I'm just saying that maybe I should take her job too, because I would like someone to pay me.
So you
to
think
massage my feet?
Natalie? The reflexology person is getting off on massaging you?
Joe, you haven't seen my feet.
You know what? This is just going in such the wrong direction right now.
Those bunions, I mean, those are pretty sexy stuff there.
You would getting $30,000 a year with that.
No, trust me, folks, we're not going to put pictures of my feet on the website.
Oh, no,
please. Dominatrix's feet are up there.
So you get a private meeting to touch her feet.
You get a private meeting today. Listen, whatever
maybe she
floats,
can do some other stuff with that.
Whatever floats your boat.
Wasn't there a...
There was a New York Jets coach.
Yes! Was it?
Oh, tell me about
yeah. Who was it, Tony? What was the guy, the Jets coach? Rex Ryan.
He had a foot thing.
Oh, yeah, but his wife posted pictures of him sucking her feet.
Ew! Gross.
Yeah.
Why did she do that?
She was proud of it, I guess. And he said, okay, that's what I do. I enjoy it.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. Ooh, he's right, but...
That's gross.
That's anyway. I didn't understand it then. I still don't understand it.
I don't get it. And I don't have a foot fetish.
No.
Although
no.
My feet are quite attractive, I have to say.
Oh, please.
I'll show you later, Joe.
Yeah. No, thank you. Wait till Len comes back. Show him.
That's a pair of feet I don't want to see. Len in a flip-flop, so that's not a sight for any of us, I think. Hey, we got some sad news. These Uber suicides, they just... Keep coming at us, Joe.
There was another one. This happened last Monday. 58-year-old guy, Fausto Luna, 58-year-old. He is an Uber driver, the seventh for-hire driver to commit suicide amid financial problems. Mm. Most of these, you know, normally it's been taxi drivers because they've spent millions of dollars for the taxi medallion. It's worth only a couple hundred thousand, if that now. So this is an Uber driver. Who, you know, I guess as an Uber driver, you have to invest. You have to buy your car. You have to get a license and do all that's required to get up and moving.
Yeah.
And it's tough out there with thousands of these guys, tens of thousands of these guys, to make a living. So there was a memorial service for him, a vigil, yesterday, and a TLC commissioner, Mira Joshi, showed up. Mm. They chased her away, accusing her of being a murderer.
Oh, because she's with the
TLC, the Taxi Limousine Commission.
Yeah, the yellow cabs.
They haven't done anything to really help any of the drivers. I don't know what they can do. You know, these are business decisions you make, and business conditions change.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, what do you want the government to make up the difference for you?
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, it's sad, but it's a tough time being a driver. But you know, listen, Uber is a useful thing. People love Uber.
They do.
People use Uber all the time. I mean, I all my friends in New York, they don't even hail cabs anymore. So you can walk out on the street and put your hand up and a cab will stop. They're like, no, I'd rather get an Uber. Yeah, I'd rather get the Uber and have it waiting for me right when I walk out of the apartment.
The problem, in order to get that convenience, you have to have thousands and tens of thousands of these drivers out there waiting for their phones to go off.
Right, right.
On top of the cabs.
Right.
And on top of the black cars and the limos that already existed before Uber came around.
And the Lyft and clogging the roadways here. So I don't know. It's a problem, but I feel sorry for those people. It's tough to make a living that way.
It is. Well, yeah.
So, all right. When we come back, ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. He's with us every Monday at 8:10. He's going to be here. He's going to have his take on the Kavanaugh confirmation and what it means for the midterm election. Steve is a terrific guy. We always like having his insights. I think the Republicans are ginned up, but Steve probably thinks the Democrats have their hair on fire. That's coming up, but it's now 8 o'clock.